Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Rewind, the podcast that rewatches, reviews, and revels in the violence for every movie, show, and one-shot in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm Tony Camarena.
And I'm Al Rodriguez.
And as usual, just want to remind y'all to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app that allows you to review stuff, and join us on Twitter at MCU_Rewind. But this episode, we are covering Season 2, Episode 5 of Daredevil, called Kinbaku. Original air date, March 18th, 2016.
Alright, and I guess we can go ahead and get into it. So, you know, we've been, like, really lucky recently, Tony, because we've been, writing our own intros for these things. But they've been really simple. And this episode is the first one where everyone really goes off and does very, very different things. So, unfortunately, the intro I have here is, like, split up and way too long. But I'm going to read it anyway. So, let's see how long this goes. So, there's two parts to the episode. There's the 10-year flashback and the what's happening now. So, let's split those up. 10-year flashback. So 10 years ago, goddamn flashbacks, a shaved Matt Murdock and a same-looking Foggy Nelson crash a rich people party. Matt gets caught, but gets saved when Elektra says he's with her, and thus Miss Nachos meets an avocado outlaw to form the super team Avocado Nachos. The two break into Fogwell's gym, a very fitting date location because it reminds the audience of Daredevil's past. The two fight in a boxing ring and then have fun adult times, so it's a good thing they didn't go fight at a children's playground. Matt and Elektra break into a house that belongs to Roscoe Sweeney, the guy who killed Matt's father. They tie up Roscoe and beat him up. Elektra tells Matt to kill him, but he doesn't, so Elektra leaves. Alright, that's that whole backstory stuff for the two of them. Now let's go to what's happening now. Elektra tells Matt that she wants him to do lawyer stuff at a meeting the next day because he is the only one that she can trust. Matt is not happy to hear her and tells her to leave. The next day, Karen tries to convince the Nelson and Murdock team to defend Frank Castle in his upcoming trial. Foggy tries to be the voice of reason and says that they shouldn't. Matt seems fairly against the idea. Assistant DA Tower shows up to ask Foggy for all the files they have on Grotto, and Foggy helps as much as he can, which is to say he was no help at all. Everyone splits up. Matt goes to the Yakatomi building to see what Elektra is really up to. He decides not to go into the building and instead listen to the whole thing from a nearby building. The meeting doesn't last long because Elektra's hacker pen is noticed very quickly. Karen goes to the New York Bulletin office to try to get more info on Frank Castle's history, finds out the reason the Punisher was attacking those three specific gangs was because they were connected to him in some way, and then Foggy meets up with his ex, Marcy, at Josie's bar. Marcy says the DA wants to take down the Punisher legally to set a precedent to criminalize vigilantes like Jessica Jones and Daredevil. Later on, Matt and Karen go on a date and feel very uncomfortable at a fancy restaurant. After a call from Elektra, Matt and Karen leave and have a nice rest of their date. Afterward, Matt goes to Elektra's place. Matt confronts Elektra about the last night they saw each other, 10 years ago, we're not sure, at Roscoe's house. Then some Yakuza attack.
Yakuza. Yeah. You went way over our 1 minute time limit.
So oh, I forget we'll we have a limit.
Yeah. You were like 2.5 minutes.
Oh,
but
all right. Well,
I also don't want to interrupt you and be like, "Well, we only get to learn about the flashback."
Yeah, that's true. If I remembered the time limit, I probably would have condensed that a little bit more. But oh well. There was a lot of stuff, right? It's I don't want to call it a filler episode. I will at the end when I have to give it a rating and just need something to say about it, like because that's my go-to. But yeah there was a lot that happened. So.
All right. True. All right. So let's start off, as we've been doing the last couple weeks, with our fast facts.
On your left.
Uh-huh, on my left. Got it.
Nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too fast. I would catch it.
You didn't see that coming?
Do you have any interesting facts?
I don't really have anything total, but something that I wasn't sure where to put in our notes is that Matt and Elektra are horrible house guests. They leave the fridge open, they let the champagne drop on the floor, they have broken glass all over the kitchen and the front door. It's probably for the best that they didn't end up together, because eventually Matt Murdock would have just broken his feet on some, or cut up his feet on some glass. Like, he's not going to notice everything.
He can echolocate it.
But is he going to think about it at 2 a.m. if he has to, like, get up and use the bathroom or something?
Well, to be fair, Matt's not home at 2 a.m. He's daredeviling.
Okay, that's true. When he gets up at 7 a.m.?
Whatever time. Possibly. That would suck.
Yeah.
Well, I do have some connections and Easter eggs.
Okay.
First of all, talking about Miss Electra Nachios. She originally came out in Daredevil 168 back in January of 1981. And she's played by Elodie Young, who is Jinx in G.I. Joe Retaliation, which I've never seen, but I thought that was semi-nerdy, so our fans might hear about that.
Oh, cool.
We also get Roxxon again, who we've seen in Iron Man 3 and Agent Carter Season 1, and we will see sometime in the future. I'm surprised Roxxon hasn't been taken down by someone yet. Because they're into child labor and slave trade and a bunch of other things that are bad. You'd think, you know, Tony Stark or someone might, you know, look into them. Someone actually big.
Yeah, I mean, considering how much they've been doing, like, eventually something will bring them down for that kind of stuff, right? Like, unless this is one of those they always have a fall guy kind of thing. Like, oh, no, that wasn't the company. That was this one guy over here. Who wanted to just make some extra money on the side, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who controls... Wait. I'll have to wait a couple of episodes before I have a theory.
Okay.
But because it spoils something in this.
Okay, got it. I mean, not sure about the laws in that world. Here in our world, I know in the US, after the whole Enron scandal stuff, there were like some laws that were passed to say, like, even if the company is doing something and the CEO or, you know, whoever top brass doesn't know about it, they'll still be held liable because they should know it's their company. So I'm gonna take back the thing I said earlier about, you know, trying to have a fall guy, because now they would be held liable. So I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that's similar. I think it's not known, because Elektra says that they're into a bunch of stuff, and then she includes slave labor and or child labor in the slave trade. And I was like, I don't think that's a well-known part of it.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, they don't really talk about it during their quarterly financial meeting to investors. They'll probably bring up, you know, the energy stuff, like gasoline and that kind of stuff, usually.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I also looked at the newspapers that we see in the background when Karen's at the New York Chronicle, or New York Bulletin, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
And we get three that I want to talk about that we had not seen in previous Daredevil episodes.
Oh, okay.
One is a Stark Tower ruined in Battle of New York, which I feel like should be a sub-headline under aliens falling from the freaking sky.
Well, maybe that story was like a week later after the main stuff, and they're like, well, I guess we can still talk about the aliens, but we need a different story.
Yeah, but that's one of the headlines that they have on the wall. Like, you know, they're framed ones.
Okay.
Yeah. We also get a Cybertech Settles, which, do you remember Cybertech?
Were they the ones that made, Deathlock?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
They are. So they're the Hydra company that created Deathlock. So apparently they settled. I don't know what they, well, they were probably being sued for, you know, implanting explosions into people's eyes and stuff like that.
But they
wouldn't allow a settlement? That seems like a criminal act.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, they could settle, like kind of make a deal, like instead of going to court, they're like, yes, we'll settle for only one life sentence instead of 20.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, that's like the Fall Guy thing you were just talking about. I don't think they would allow that.
That's true. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing. All right. But yeah, considering how horrible they did things, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one I want to talk about has nothing to do with the wider MCU. It was just a great headline. When Karen had all the newspapers around her, I kind of like turned, I was watching on my iPad, so I was turning the screen and stuff to read all the headlines upside down. There was one that says, Ebola patient goes out e-bowling. And I loved it.
I kind of want to know what that means. Like, what does that mean?
They let the Ebola guy go bowling, or they bought the Ebola guy a Wii, which would be safer for, you know, the world.
And did the Ebola person die during this event? Like, they were playing Wii bowling and then they died because they go e-bowling?
I hope not, because I don't think they should use a pun if someone died. Also, I don't think it's worthy of being a headline.
Unless someone really, really liked that pun.
The editor, whatever his name is, who they talk to, who's just like, you know what? That's a really good one. Front page news. But we've got this. They just defrosted Captain America. That could be on. No. E-bowling. E-bowling.
That's the only logical conclusion. Yep. We have to go with that. Yeah.
Completely. And the last one is Marcy said she was hired by HCNB, which I can only figure is Hogarth, Chow, and Benowitz, which is Hogarth's law office in Jessica Jones.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's all I have for our Fast Facts. Pew! Or whatever sound effect Quicksilver makes. Pew! I don't know if he has a sound effect. He wasn't there long enough.
But, yeah, that's true. I'm sure they made a sound in the background when he was moving, but it was... I don't think it's a sound normal humans can make.
Yeah. I'm sure we're like, pew! All right. Now to our heroes.
Maybe it's enough that the world thinks I'm a hero.
I saw you. You're a hero. Like, a for real superhero, which is, I'm not like a groupie stalker type. But...
I choose to run toward my problems and not away from them. Because that's what heroes do.
Which is pretty much just Matt, because we don't see Frank.
Exactly. apparently I'm missing the heroes section from my notes. Wow, I know I didn't have any real notes.
Yeah.
But maybe I accidentally deleted those. Okay.
All okay. Right. Well, I do have... I mean, there's not a lot to say. I think we discussed this pre-recording about this episode in general. But I do have a little bit about his date with Karen at the end.
Uh-huh.
How he wants to make it a perfect night so he kind of doesn't let... Or he doesn't go upstairs with Karen. It's kind of weird that the city, as soon as he leaves, it's not weird that the city reminds him that he can't have a perfect night because he can hear all the crime. But to even make it worse, he goes to see Elektra. I don't understand that logic.
Yeah, I wonder if that was just an excuse. Like, it doesn't sound like it was, but I wonder if in his mind he's been thinking... Damn it, I should go actually see her and do Daredevil stuff, maybe.
Yeah. This is the only time we have him not wearing the suit. I mean, or a suit. Like, he's either not wearing the black suit from season one or the Daredevil suit at all in this episode.
Oh, I didn't notice that. You're right.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't get a lot of Daredeviling. I don't think we get a lot of Matt, except for in the beginning and end, right?
Yeah, I mean, there was that little part in the middle where he goes to listen in on what Elektra's doing at the Yakatomi building. But that's it. I mean,
yeah, and he was real effective, you know, standing outside and getting interference from her pen.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Yeah.
Moving on to villains.
I ask you, to what end? Dread it? Run from it? Destiny arrives all the same.
It's funny, isn't it? How even the best of men can be deceived by their true nature.
The hell does that mean?
That I am the ill intent.
Kneel before me.
I said...
Alright, villains.
Alright. We got Elektra, who we're considering a villain, which I guess she's... In the comics, she switches back and forth from villain to hero, and they're working together and stuff like that, but she is kind of like the antithesis of what Daredevil wants, which is mostly murderizing.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, at best, she's an anti-hero kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, at least, yeah, she is doing things supposedly good. I mean, well, modern day her is, because the Yakuza and Roxxon are into evil stuff. Past Elektra was just a spoiled little rich girl who thought she can get away with everything and was right.
I did not know that.
Well, I mean, like, in this episode, in the flashbacks, she steals a car, nothing happens, she just breaks into someone's house, nothing happens, she ties up and tortures, does she end up killing Sweeney? I can't remember.
No. So that was the thing I was gonna bring up. Also, I have, like, a bunch of notes about her and her relationship with Matt. Do we bring those up now, or is that, like, yeah, later 12%?
We can bring it up now.
Okay. All right. Let's just go from the beginning of their relationship, and then, yeah, Sweeney is in there, because that's, like, part of the whole theory. Okay. So Matt and Elektra met 10 years prior, right? At mm-hmm. least that's what it says, 10 years ago. So... from what we can tell, Matt and Foggy were still in college at the time. Were mm-hmm. they, like, freshmen at the time? Like, I don't really know how old they were. Were they pre-law? Were they in law school? Because 10 years... I mean, sorry. At the beginning of season one, they just passed the bar. Like, yes. And it doesn't take 10 years to pass the bar unless you're bad at it.
Yeah, and they what, graduated summa cum laude and cum laude?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So. I mean, timing-wise, it's weird. And then also, how long did they date in total? Like, the reason I'm wondering that is, did Foggy know about Elektra? Because if Foggy didn't know anything about Elektra, then either Matt is, like, super secretive of the women he dates, or, like, they didn't date long enough for Foggy to ever meet her?
Yeah, I feel like they had to meet. And it'd be, like, the awkward thing where your best friend and your girlfriend has nothing in common, so they saw each other, like, on Matt's birthday or something, but never interacted.
Okay, that would make sense. Like, I'm good with that. I just, like, so how many years, I guess, is part of it, right? Like, did they only date for 1 year?
I feel like or... it's a couple months, maybe.
Couple months? Okay. So yeah. It's just the timing. Basically, that whole 10 years prior thing is what really messes with this in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're supposed to be, like, probably mid-20s or something, right? Like, right out of law school.
Yeah. I'm trying to look up. We get in season one, the episode Nelson v. Murdoch. We get, like, flashbacks to the first time they met. So I'm trying to find out how long ago that was.
The first time they met? Matt and Foggy? Oh, okay. Yes. For some reason, I don't remember that. I remember, them graduating and becoming avocados at law, but...
No, I remember they meet for the first time in, like, roommates.
Okay. right.
And according to the Marvel Cinematic Universe wiki, it says over 10 years ago. So it doesn't help.
Great. Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's just because of that stuff. And then, and actually in that episode that you were just talking about, at some point, Matt talks about like having taken Greek, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that was in some way related to Elektra.
I'm not sure. I think the hint was, he took Greek and that's where he met Elektra. Then they reworked it.
Yeah, which makes sense. But it's all weird. Like,
yeah, it's almost like they didn't plan this out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, they could have said 5 years ago. That would have fit a lot better. That would have made more sense to me, at least. But maybe it's 10 years, given how old the actors are. I have no idea how old they are.
Yeah, neither do I. How long was this? Probably a year after season one?
This episode?
I
thought this was only like a few months.
Maybe. I'm looking up how long does it take to get a longer degree.
Because, I mean, I'm assuming they probably got like a 4-year bachelor's degree. Yeah. And then they went into law school. I have no idea how long that takes. Let's say 2 years.
Three.
So, I don't know.
Law
six,
school programs
seven
are typically
years.
3 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it says, the first thing it says is, unlike a student's undergraduate degree, a law school does not allow a student to choose their own pace. Law degrees are required by law to complete the law program in 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 7 years.
So
right
this
there.
Makes yeah. So this makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to assume that they were in school for they got their bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. They took some time off in between, and then they like maybe they traveled or something, Foggy and Matt, and then they went into law school.
Yes, but why are they infiltrating this this faculty meeting or party?
It was
just
faculty?
For the fancy
I
food.
Was, I thought it was just random rich people.
No, she says it's a faculty party.
Oh, I missed that. That's a good point. Like, because I assume that they, like that Matt just, well, probably both of them, but Matt like goes out to like talk to people. I assume that he was wanting to meet people to be clients.
Well, yeah, but if this is 10 years ago and they're taking a break between law degrees.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? Let's just, we're going to
we can't fix
that.
This.
We're going to say 5 years. The show says
we're just going to, it's like Spider-Man Homecoming where it says 12 years ago, but we all know it was like 8 years ago or something like that. I can't remember what the wrong mm-hmm. numbers was.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
it was 6 years ago, and it should have. And they wrote 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was a typo. You know, you have that one person at a computer, mm-hmm. and then someone just didn't notice. Right, that's it. It's fair. It happens.
Yeah, so yeah. This is what happened here.
All right.
There's cool. a typo in the script, or
yeah.
did they, I don't know. Whatever. There was a typo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Someone was like, "Oh, what's a long time ago? 10 years," and then someone wrote it down. Mm-hmm. And they never went back to it.
It's like The Simpsons when they always do the flashbacks of when Homer and Marge are young, but since it's been on for so long, it's always a different decade.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure I have a firm belief that this is just what socialites do when these rich women who got their parents' money, they have nothing to do with all the time, so they just become ninjas. All of them. Paris Hilton, ninja. Another rich person, ninja. Third rich person, also a ninja. I don't know.
All of the Kardashians?
All the Kardashians, mm-hmm. ninjas.
It makes sense. The only logical conclusion.
Yep.
Yeah. So going back to your question that you had earlier, the whole thing with Roscoe Sweeney at the end.
Oh yes.
I assume he's just in prison.
Oh yeah, because he called the police.
Yeah. So I had to think about this for a bit. My assumption is that yes, Roscoe remembers Matt Murdock,
mm-hmm.
and he's just gonna wait until he gets out of prison to go kill Matt himself.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to work out real well for him.
Yeah, he doesn't know that, but that's his plan.
Well, he could also, it is, even though this guy is a criminal, they did break into his house, eat his food, shatter his glasses, and then tie him up and torture him. They should be in jail if Elektra wasn't ridiculously rich and just probably got them off with some settlement.
Okay, so you're assuming that Roscoe did identify the two of them.
Or at least he knew who Matt was.
Yeah, that's true. He does.
Although he wouldn't admit to knowing who Matt was, because then he would admit that he killed, he ordered the hit on Murdoch's dad.
Yeah. So
okay. Yeah. So he would just use his connections to kill this poor blind lawyer kid. Exactly. And then get their asses kicked.
Yeah.
And for all we know, that in the 10 years between then and now, that probably happened.
That's true. Or in this mysterious 10 years.
Yeah.
He'll show up later, season 4. It'll be like a 2-3-part episode. And that's it.
Uh-huh. I do have a little bit about Roscoe. I put him in the villain section because he is a villain, kind of. Have you read, you as probably know, have you read the Star Wars comics, the ones that since Disney took over, the reboot?
I mean, I've read some, but I mean, they've made a ton.
Yeah. In the main Star Wars line, this issue 1, that reminded me of something in this, where Roscoe in this says, sorry to break it to you, but I killed a lot of guys' dads. Which reminds me of in issue 1 of Star Wars, Luke actually tries to fight Vader and does it terribly, because it's like a week after the Death Star thing. But Luke yells at Vader, "You killed my father," and goes, "I killed many fathers. You'll have to be more specific."
He also killed a lot of children.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Completely unrelated, though Star Wars related, so we can talk about it here. Uh-huh. I was on Reddit, and someone posted a meme. It was just like, or it was like behind-the-scene facts. It was, George Lucas and ILM developed the special effects to destroy Alderaan because they thought it was ethically unsound to actually destroy a planet for a movie.
That's a good one.
Yep. Back to Roscoe, yeah. Or Vader. We can just keep talking about Darth Vader.
Flip a coin. I'm good either way.
Yeah. Oh, damn his tails. I guess we'll keep on Roscoe. Okay. All right. I never understood in movies or, I guess, real life, although I've never encountered any situation like this in my sheltered life, I never understood when you are being tortured or you're tied to a chair and you do the tough guy routine where you keep baiting your captors to either continue torturing you or punching you. Like he does.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, I always assume that it's, like, they're assuming that they're just gonna die, so if they get hit sooner, they're dead sooner? I'm with you. I don't get it either.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's fair.
Okay, yeah. I have one last thing about Elektra in general.
Yeah.
So I was just gonna bring that up. At some point in the episode, I don't remember what scene, but I have this down as a note. Elektra says that Al is an ugly name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, bitch. Bud.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got.
That makes her the true villain.
Exactly. The true villain.
I actually don't remember when she says that.
Yeah, neither do I. It's she was making fun of someone. I don't remember. It might have been towards the end, like when they were at Roscoe Sweeney's house. But anyway, yeah, she says that at some point.
Fair. Yeah. All right, now to our supporting characters.
Guy in the chair.
Don't do anything stupid until I get back.
How can I? Taking all the stupid with you.
No, 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 no. Not those three wombats. No way.
Which I've all, mine's all Karen. I don't know if you have anything other than Karen.
No, I've got nothing. I honestly, I wasn't sure where to put Elektra because we didn't talk about it until 5 minutes before we started recording. So I wasn't sure if she should be in there or the villains. So I've got nothing in the supporting characters.
Okay. I got actually a few notes about Karen.
Okay.
First of all, she's starting on her path. Well, no, we'll talk about that later, but she is going the newspaper route to, see her conspiracy theories, right? The conspiracy theory that is all covered up and stuff like that. After, actually, we don't know when this is. I was going to say after the fall of Hydra, but we're not sure if Hydra has fallen yet.
It seems
like most of the things in the MCU, most conspiracy theories, are true.
Well, wait, what do you mean? What are you referring to as far as the fall of Hydra? Like, what specifically?
The Winter Soldier.
That's happened. I thought you said that all of this stuff was after
after Age of Ultron. This is before Ultron. So this is between...
Oh, okay.
Is it? Well, actually...
Yeah, no, I thought this was all after Age of Ultron, but before before Civil War.
No, well, it could be. We just know it's between Avengers and before Civil War.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
So we don't know where in the timeline it is.
Okay. All right.
I don't think there's anything about that. Yeah, I don't think there's anything about Ultron in this.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, because we know that there was a super secret evil organization controlling world events.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also aliens controlling history. At least aliens throughout history. We'll probably learn more about that in the Eternals.
Uh-huh.
But it's becoming clear that every conspiracy theory is true. So it's a good thing that Karen is believing this.
Yeah, that's true. Because if this were real life, then it's like only one in every six is true.
Yes. Yeah. Roll of dice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we find out through this that everything about Castle has been covered up, including his service and that he had a family.
Yeah, exactly. And I forget, was it in this episode? Or no, it was next week's episode. Never mind, I'll bring that up next week.
All right.
Karen mentioned something else, too. But yeah, like there's other stuff that they even fabricate, too, about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it is part of the conspiracy theory, because it's just like, okay, what? Maybe he was top secret in the military, but it's weird that they covered up his family's existence.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even the fact that he was a soldier, like, even that's something that would be out there and known.
Well, yeah, they say that they know that he was enlisted, but they never have any deployment records or anything like that.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. But the fact that, like, he had a regular family who probably had friends and knew who he was and stuff like that. I mean, we find out in the Punisher show, this isn't even a spoiler, he has his own guys in the chair and support system who know that he exists.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's weird that they would not say anything.
Yeah. I mean, as the Punisher is taking over New York or being like this huge news story, no one's coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, we knew him and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
It's just weird.
I mean, there is a little bit of that later in the season. I don't want to get too far into it, but
okay,
that kind of happens a little.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't remember.
Okay.
I remember certain things in this, but I don't remember too much about what happens going on.
Yeah, we never do.
No, we don't. So, one more thing about Karen and her insensitivity. We talked about their date.
Uh-huh.
We talked a little bit, but they go to a restaurant. She picks an Indian restaurant after they reject the fancy restaurant.
Uh-huh.
This Indian restaurant, her favorite thing is not the food, but the decorations that her blind date cannot see.
Well, I mean, he can't see any of the decorations ever, so she might as well go somewhere.
Choose a really good tasting place that your favorite thing is the food.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, the food was probably pretty good, right? Matt says it smells delicious.
Yeah, and he knows.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended, but appreciated.
Golf clap.
Yeah.
Golf clap.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I'm not sure what I was about to say. But yeah, I just thought it was a little rude of her. It's like, I mean, Matt could probably sense it and appreciate it, but she doesn't know that. She doesn't know he has powers.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, she describes it to him. So there's that. Is that
she
like
could also?
A,
uh-huh. She could also be lying. She could just be like any place, and she's like describing this stuff. Not that she would do that. I think that's probably messed up.
This place is so nice. Got it, if you just look around the room, like you see all the Italian imagery, the pictures, it's great. And then like the camera zooms out and it's like a Sbarro or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Matt would know, but he couldn't tell her that he knew. You're just lying to a blind man.
I wonder how many times Foggy's done that to him.
Well, he's much better than the Foggy in the movie where he switches honey for mustard.
Yeah, that guy's an ass.
Yeah, damn it, Jon Favreau.
Ugh. That's why your career hasn't gone anywhere. Oh, wait.
Wait, damn it. I watched the live quote-unquote live-action Lion King.
Oh, yeah?
You know what I thought about it? I thought it was the Lion King.
Okay, yeah, I did the same things recently with live action Aladdin. Same thought process. Yeah, like, oh, I've seen this movie before.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Lion King's my favorite, so it wasn't terrible. It was just very unnecessary.
Exactly. Yeah, I am still a little confused on why they're making them. I don't fully understand.
Because they make money.
Okay, is it enough? Like, is it actually worthwhile?
Lion King and Aladdin, I'm not sure about Aladdin, but definitely Lion King was over a billion.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
Aladdin was really high, too. I haven't watched Dumbo yet, but Dumbo's like a 45-minute movie that they stretched out to an hour, or like 2 hours. So, worried? Also, Dumbo's not really my favorite.
Okay.
And then I'm excited for Mulan, even though they took out Mushu and Make a Man Out of You. So I'm not sure how I really feel about that, but I'm going to go see that because it looks action-y.
Yeah, same here. That's pretty much my thoughts. Like, I rewatched the cartoon Mulan a few weeks ago. I was like, oh, this is actually still pretty good. All right. I'll see it. We'll see. Yeah.
I was hoping they would cast, like, Agent May, you know, Ming-Na Wen, who plays Mulan in the cartoon, as, like, her aunt or something.
I kind of assumed that she would get some kind of, like...
Yeah.
What's it called? Cameo. I assume she would get a cameo, but maybe that's something
I hope
just
she
didn't
does.
Announce. Yeah.
Yeah. We're still... I don't even know when that comes out. March or April?
March 27th.
Okay. Yep. So who knows? At this point, it's probably already out. We keep dating ourselves really badly in this podcast.
That's true. We don't remember when this episode's dropping. Okay. all right. Apparently I did have a guy in the chair type of thing to bring up. I just had it in a different set of notes. And I'm not sure if this really even counts. We're going to bring it up anyway. So when Foggy is out with Marcy, she, you know, how she mentions the thing about the DA wanting to do the whole, you know, make it illegal to be a vigilante in New York because she wants to start trying all of them and everything.
Yeah.
So she mentions Daredevil, but she also mentions Jessica Jones, like, as a vigilante. Mm-hmm. Is she actually considered one? Because I wouldn't think she's done any vigilante stuff. Like, yes, she has powers, but...
She got real popular and famous for killing Kilgrave, and she did that is taking the law into her own hands, so strictly by the letter of the law, that is vigilanteism.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
I mean, she did one thing, but it got really famous. Remember, she got all those calls at the end of the episode or season.
Yeah, that's so true.
I guess so.
Okay, yeah, all right, yeah, I didn't think about that. I was like thinking the rest of the season, like, yeah, she's like, she did her her private investigator stuff. But yeah, you're right. She did do that in front of a bunch of people, some of them police, all that stuff. So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I understand with the Punisher and even with Daredevil, but why would you use Jessica Jones as an example of vigilantism gone awry?
Yeah, she's definitely lowest on the totem pole of everyone in the list.
Yeah.
To be fair, and in Netflix world, she's only number three on the list, but yeah.
Yes, at this point. Well, no, Luke Cage is out there, even though I don't think he's done anything yet.
Yeah, he's not really known.
Yeah. Would this law, this New York State law or New York City law against vigilantism, would it affect Tony Stark, who's based out of New York?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I would assume that it's, I guess it's city law. So, yeah, yeah. I would assume that maybe that they would try him in that state if he does anything in the state.
Maybe related. Maybe that's why he moved upstate.
to get away from that. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Hmm. Okay. That could make sense. All right. Moved out of state 2-3 years later. Okay.
Because he moved out. He moved the Avengers facility to after Ultron, right?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that was at the end. So they went out to the compound. So. Okay. He saw the writing on the wall. He was like, yeah, we should actually build something on this land that we have. So he built up the compound. And look at that. They moved just in time to not have to worry about city law.
I wonder if the DA was like about to get this passed and then the Sokovia Accords happened so they don't even have to worry about her local law.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure stuff like this has probably popped up in other parts of the world.
Yeah. Although, I think per capita, New York has the most vigilantes than any other place.
Yeah, that's true. We've got all of the Avengers, plus all of the Netflix people.
Yep.
And sometimes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Probably a few Inhumans.
Yeah.
Not that they're on there yet, but like Spider-Man's technically not an Avenger until Infinity War, and he's running around. Miss Marvel, not Captain, but Miss Marvel, when she comes up, she's in New Jersey, so that's pretty close.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very, very centrally located there.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, okay.
One thing I'd like to see eventually, like, maybe this might be like 10 years down the line in the MCU, because I think it'll take a while to get there. But after Civil War in the comics, and the Registration Act enacted, they had the 50 States Initiative, where every state had their own team of superheroes. And I think that would be interesting.
It could get interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. All I remember is, I remember looking at California, because that's, you know, the only state I care about. And it's like, they're all based on the Greek gods.
Oh, okay. So yeah, like really Hercules is probably one of them, and he's the only of the Greek gods I know. Him and Ares are the only two I know that are in the comics.
I'm looking it up.
Okay, yeah, and just because I'm curious for the hell of it, who are the Florida ones too? Because I guess it matters to me now.
Yeah.
Actually, and you know, kind of thinking about it, you know, that would actually be really interesting. Like, they could do it as a TV show, and like every season was just like a different state. You have like a different team. That could be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. All right, so Florida is the Command, consisting of who's on the team? A bunch of people I've never heard of. Jennifer Kale, Aquarian, Conquistador, and Siege.
Okay, sounds like good team.
I've never heard of any of these people.
yeah, same here.
Let me look them up on the MCU wiki.
Are you looking up what kind of powers they have and all that? Or?
Yeah, Jennifer Kale is an Atlantean. She's an Atlantean sorceress. Aquarian, also an Atlantean sorcerer.
Okay, and then, a little leaning heavy on one type of power there, okay.
And then Conquistador is a conquistador from the 16th century who found the Fountain of Youth in Florida. Oh. So now he's a superhero because he's been alive for 500 years.
Oh, you know, given the amount of people I've met out here in Florida, would not say the Fountain of Youth is here, but okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is interesting.
Uh-huh.
The California one is called the Order, and they all have secret names. The creators are Zeus and Hera, whose real names are Tony Stark and Pepper Potts.
Oh. So they moved out there? Or are these different people who just happen to have that name?
No, they moved out there.
Okay.
And then, I'm not going... There are 12 of them. There's a lot of them, and I don't recognize any of their other names.
All right. That sounds good. All right. You good to move on to the next thing?
What, you don't want to talk about other teams that we've never heard of for longer?
I think I'm good.
Okay, all right.
I think that our listeners should tell us their favorite teams on Twitter, and then we will interact as appropriate.
Okay.
All right. All right, so let's move on, unless you have any other supporting character stuff you want to bring up.
No.
Okay, cool. So we've got an ad, so we've got to read that first before we actually get on with the episode, so please don't just hit fast forward. all that stuff.
Welcome to Baskin-Robbins. Would you like to try our mango fruit blast?
And Jerry's named a flavor after me, so...
Stark Raving Hazelnuts.
Not bad.
For your consideration, the Jerry.
So, Tony, we brought this up before. You're doing a lot of stuff to lose weight, which I know is mostly a diet thing. Do you work out at all?
No. I tried, and then I don't like it.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Now, let's say that you did work out. What would you do?
Probably weightlifting, because I hate running and walking.
All right, I knew it. Lazy type of workouts. Now, Tony, you should really look into today's sponsor, Fogwell's Gym. They have all the equipment you need to get a real workout. They have a boxing ring, a punching bag, probably a jump rope. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's just basic workout gear. What sets them apart from the 24-hour fitnesses or the LA Gyms of the world? The answer is gamma dust. Every single piece of workout gear is coated in a thick layer of dust, kind of like it hasn't been used in years. And to make it even better, that dust is mixed with gamma particles. Not enough to be harmful, not enough to be useful, but enough to sound useful. Remember, that's Fogwell's Gym. Use promo code MCURewind to get a free case of Power Sauce Bars, the only bar to contain 6 different types of apples. Open from 1 to 1:02 p.m. every third day. Please don't find a way to break in.
God. You know what? I don't know how they make money to pay us for this ad when they're only open 2 minutes, 2 times a week.
Our rates are very low.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. It's tied to, how many listeners we have, so it's pretty low. Yeah.
Come on, guys, help us out.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Ready to move on?
Yeah, to our favorite part of the show, the action.
Their abilities?
He's got increased metabolism and improved thermal homeostasis. Her thing is neuroelectric interfacing, telekinesis, mental manipulation. He's fast and she's weird.
That thing does not obey the laws of physics at all.
Okay, the city is flying. We're fighting an army of robots. And I have a bow and arrow.
Woo-hoo. You know how much we love talking about that every time.
Yep.
My thing is mostly focused on Elektra and Matt in the gym. So, or the Gym. I'm sorry. I mispronounced it. So it's appropriate with that ad read. I feel like one of Elektra's powers is like superhuman perception. Because she can read people really well when they first meet. And then she kind of figures out that he can see or can sense better.
Yeah, that seems fair. Because, then again, how long were they dating? Like, Foggy and Matt were friends for we don't know how many years at this point.
43 years.
Okay, with this they were timeline. Friends. They were friends for 43 years, and Foggy still hasn't noticed that Matt is basically able to do everything. And yeah, and Elektra notices it in. I don't know how long they've been dating.
I feel like it's just been a couple of months.
Okay, let's say 2 months in or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that seems fair. That she's really good at that. Cool. Okay.
And the only other note I have, which you kind of touched on at the in the summary, is like I'm really disappointed that this fight wasn't about over the top action in the children's playground, but it would have made the sex scene kind of awkward.
It definitely would have been, especially if it was in the middle of the afternoon. Not the night, like when they break in there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the only superior moment of the movie compared to the TV show is that fight scene, because it's just so ridiculous.
It is. It really is. You know, it's one of those things that, like, let's say superheroes were real, right? Like if we lived in that world. Real.
I said it.
It's one of those things that would probably actually happen eventually. And someone would say, like, no, that's just too stupid. We're not going to put that into a movie. And then they would skip it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The things I have for this, as far as, you know, powers and stuff. So apparently Daredevil can hear across buildings. Like, we know his hearing power is pretty good, but he can, like, target it to specific floors, I guess. Or I feel like we haven't seen it this dialed in before. Like, maybe we have and I just haven't noticed, but
yeah, no, I think you're right, where he should be overwhelmed with the sound of the street and all the other sounds coming from the building. Where he's not, he can just focus on what's happening in that one room.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember, like, in season one, I think Stick was, like, kind of helping him with that training, like, to just focus the hearing. But, like, that's really good focus of the hearing, like, considering he's outside of a building for one, like there's concrete in between and all that. He's able to hear everything. So,
yeah, I mean, I feel like there are people who can just tune things out. And that's just an ability some people in the real world have. That's not an ability I have. If something else is happening, I try to, like, my brain tries to focus on everything. It's really distracting.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, like all inputs, there you go. You're noticing them all. Yeah,
I gotta say, it's really useful being a teacher and being able to hear everything in case the kids are doing something wrong, but every other aspect of my life, it sucks.
Oh, I bet. Yep. Alrighty, you ready to move on to 12% of a plan?
Yeah.
Stark Tower is your baby. Give yourself 12% of the credit.
12%?
An argument can be made for 15.
12%? Well, I my baby?
Did do all the heavy lifting. Literally, I lifted the heavy things.
You know, I'm 12 minutes older than you.
Go.
What percentage?
I don't know. 12%.
12%? That is not a plan.
It's barely a concept.
You're taking their side?
I am Groot.
So what? It's better than 11%. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
All so right. This is anything else we want to bring up. So the last 12% of the episode, or probably less usually.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Do you have anything?
Yeah, I have. I think I figured out the theme of the season, at least so far.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the theme is temptation. Because the Punisher does the same type of work, but he's better in... but he kills people. That's like... tempting Daredevil to finish the job and stop the crime. And then of course Elektra is like actual temptation, where she is doing terrible things, but Daredevil keeps going along with it because he really does love her and has this attraction to her.
Okay. He basically ends a date with Karen early just to go see her. I didn't think of the Punisher, like how he does things, as kind of temptation for Daredevil, just because I thought after season one, when he decides to not kill Fisk, that he's like good on the not killing people thing. So I just kind of assumed that he was like, eh, all right, I don't need to kill anyone. So I wouldn't have assumed that the Punisher would be that, but that does make sense. It really does fit.
Yeah. I feel like, he's really tempted to kill, the Punisher, like when they're up on the roof and Punisher's threatening to kill that ex-Marine old guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I feel like that he keeps tempting him to do something about it.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't think
Daredevil would stop him in a way that.
Yeah,
would
I don't
stop
think Daredevil. I don't think Matt would have killed him. He obviously didn't. But I feel as if that's the whole point of his character, at least in the beginning, was to put that temptation in front of him.
Okay, that fits.
Mm-hmm. No, fits. Remember, he's an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. character. He's not in the cell. All
right, let's move on. I do have one thing to bring up. So the cool little hacking tool Elektra had, you know, she pressed a button and it used sound waves basically to start hacking machines. Mm-hmm. Like that thing specifically, not real, but the concept, possible, to use sound to hack into a computer. So, you know, one of those things that anytime you look into computer security stuff, you just realize everything's mm-hmm. broken. And you just want to get rid of computers. This type of thing, there was a virus that was found that someone found. I mean, this was years ago that I read it, like mm-hmm. 2010 or something like that, reading the article about there were two computers that someone had in like a lab, and they were air-gapped, meaning that they were not connected over a network at all. And somehow one computer got infected, and then later the other one got infected, and they found out that the way it worked was in order to spread the virus on computer A was sending sound outside of the range of what a human can hear, but it was still sending sound through the speaker. Yeah. And then on the other side, there was a microphone that just happened to pick up those signals. Again, not something a human can hear, but it was in a way that the driver for the microphone, just messed up, and then it started like installing the virus basically.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have assumed it was a hacking arrow, you know, like we have in the first Avengers movie
that Hawkeye uses.
Yep.
I mean, that's possible too, I guess.
I mean, that's why I'm not into cybersecurity.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I don't want to get into cybersecurity, because everything is broken and it's just constant drinking to soothe yourself to sleep at night. So
this is what I'm trying to portray to my supervisors when I tell them about security for kids stuff, and you know, the filters we have to put on. I'm just like, they're asking me, how can you make it foolproof so they can never ever even think about ever going on an inappropriate website and never find a loophole to get around it? It's like, well, you can't. That's not how technology works, and that's not how children work. They will always find a way around it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Tony. Somehow, we still went an hour with the episode.
I know. Because we had longer tangents, so we just made up for the gaps.
That's true, even though we assumed, with less notes, we would... All right, okay. All right.
Okay.
All right, let's rate this episode.
I know my value. Anyone else's opinion doesn't really matter.
Earth just lost your best defender. So we're here to fight.
Strongest Avenger.
Access denied.
Strongest Avenger.
Access denied.
Damn you, Stark.
Banner.
Welcome, Strongest Avenger.
What?
Tony, how many broken glasses on the floor do you rate this episode?
I mean, honestly, I give this episode like a 2. I was not satisfied with this episode as a single thing. You know, as a part of a larger whole, all right. But overall, there wasn't enough to talk about if it wasn't for Darth Vader and 50 States Avengers themes.
I'm with you too. It's pretty low. you know, I just trying to think of something to say about it, it felt like a filler episode. Yeah, it's like, yeah, 2, 2.5, somewhere in that range. So
yeah.
All right, let's close it out.
So join us next time as we cover Daredevil Season 2, Episode 6, Regrets Only, which apparently is what we're feeling about this episode. And again, follow us at MCU_Rewind and give us a 5-star review and tell your friends and please just let people listen to us. Again, this is the Marvel Cinematic Rewind for Daredevil Season 2, Episode 5, Kinbaku, signing off. Have a marvelous day.